Okay. Welcome to the Shir and Kliyachar Parshas Ha'azino. Wanted to see a beautiful Kliyachar tonight. Again, it's clear, to me at least, that the Kliyachar gave this originally as part of a drasha having to do with Shabbos Shuvah. Again, most years Ha'azino is the Parsha which is laying Shabbos Shuvah. This year it happens not to be. But even for the Shabbos after Shabbos Shuvah, the beautiful ideas which he expresses here are certainly very, very relevant. This is in Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Beis. The Pasuk says, Yarov kamatar b'litchi, may my teaching come down like the rain. Tizal katalim rossi, may my sayings drip down like the dew. Right? Again, Moshe Rabbeinu's introduction to the Shiras Ha'azinu. So says the Kliyachar, near Lefarish, al derech sheshamati pirush al pasuk, adam uvehema toshia Hashem. This pasuk, Yarov kamatar litchi tizal katali rossi, can be explained based on a pasuk that we all know from the Shabbos Mincha davening, adam uvehema toshia Hashem. Hashem, you will save adam and behema. You will save man and beast together. They say derech agav. I guess a little levity is appropriate. We're in the Simcha, the days between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, so just a pshat al derech tzachus on the pasuk Adam uvehema toshia Hashem. They tell a story of a fellow who came into shul. Nobody knew who he was, and the shamus greeted him at the door to the shul. Said shalom aleichem, can I help you? I see you're a guest in town. He says yes, I'd like to sit up by the mizrach with the rav. Okay, it's a little bit of an unusual request. The shamus goes over to the Rav and says, you know, a fellow just walked in. He wants to sit next to you. Is that okay? The Rav says, fine. Okay, he wants to sit next to me. They place the guy next to the Rav. The Rav opens up his sitter to the Chun Aranina. And right off the bat, the guy is asking him question after question and question and question. The Rav can't get in a word of davening. So he finishes davening, goes home. He figures, you know, maybe tomorrow will be better. Comes in Shabbos morning to shul. The guy is sitting there waiting for him. Sits there, the whole davening, every line of the davening is asking him this and this and that question and that question, driving the Rav off the wall. Finally, they get to Shabbos Mincha, and they get to the end of the Shmoneh Esrei, get to Sukkos Chatzedek, and the fellow turns to the Rav and says, you know, Shteit and Pasuk Adam uvehema toshia Hashem. How can it be that the Adam and the Behema are right next to one another? So the Rav says, I blame the Shamus. So that's not really relevant to the Kliyachar. But the Kliyachar says, what pshat in the Pasuk? Adam uvehema toshia Hashem. You can understand it based on the Pasuk Yarov kamatar litchi. How so? Al pi medrash. He quotes, again, a famous medrash from Yushalmi and Makos. Sho'alu l'nevua. Chote mayase v'yizkate. They ask prophecy. What should a sinner do in order to achieve kapara? Heshiva anetha shachotes tamos. So Nevuah answered, you know, if you sin, you die. No two ways about it. There is no kapara other than misa itself, other than death itself, for a person who sins. Sho'alu la'Torah. The Medrash continues. They ask the Torah itself, chote mayase v'yizkaper. What should a sinner do in order to achieve kapara? Heshiva yavi karbon v'yizkaper. So the Torah answered, bring a karbon. If you bring a karbon, so that will bring about a kapara. Sho'alu laKadosh Baruch Hu. Finally, they go for a third opinion. They ask the Ribbono Shel Olam himself, chote mayase v'yizkaper. What should a sinner do in order to achieve kapara? Heshiv yase tshuva v'yizkaper. So the Ribbono Shel Olam introduces, there's a concept called tshuva, a person who sinned. He doesn't have to use misa as a kapara, he doesn't have to bring even a karbon as a kapara. Again, we're not zochet to have karbonos b'zman hazeh. And even so, there's a concept known as tshuva. Shenemar tov v'yosher Hashem al karen yorin chatoim badarech. The Ribbono Shel Olam himself shows sinners the way to get out of their state of sinfulness, i.e. the concept of tshuva. In other words, on the simple level, the Gemara, the Yerushalmi Makos is bringing out, the idea of tshuva is not stated so explicitly in the Torah. It's not stated so explicitly in the Nevi'im. In a sense, it's a special gift that the Ribbono Shel Olam gives us, even when Misa and a Karbon are not going to be an option. So based on that Medrash, says the Kli Yakar as follows: Im Kain, we talk Divrei HaNevuah Ein Shuvah La'Odom HaChotek. When Nevuah considered the question, what should a sinner do? The only answer is death to the sinner. When we talk Shuvah HaTorah Ein Shuvah La'Behema, from the perspective of Torah, if a person sins, the sinner can survive, but a behema has to be sacrificed. An animal has to die in order to bring about the kapara for the individual. Because the animal is going to die as a karma. But when the Ribbono Shel Olam takes up the question, what should a person do in order to achieve kapara, shomar yaseh tshuva v'yiskaper, hinevozeh masa tshuva l'shneyev. So the Ribbono Shel Olam, so to speak, is able to save both the person, the sinner, and the animal, because, you know, there isn't necessarily an obligation to bring a karma. So that, he says, l'chach nemar adam uvehemo toshia Hashem, that's what the pasuk means, you are Kodesh Baruch Hu, as opposed to Nevuah, that demands that the Adam should die, as opposed to Torah, that demands that the behema should die, you are Kodesh Baruch Hu, Adam uvehemo toshia Hashem, you are Kodesh Baruch Hu, able to save both the Adam and the behema. Right? It's sharp, it's sweet, it's a new way to think about a pasuk that we say very, very frequently. In other words, according to this beautiful pshat from the Kli Yakar, Adam uvehema toshia Hashem is essentially a song of praise to the idea of tshuva. Right? The Ribbono Shel Olam, by introducing the idea of tshuva, is Moshiach. He saves both the Adam and the behema. The sinner need not die, and even the animal need not die as a karba. Again, a beautiful, beautiful pshat. What does that have to do with us? So based on this, we can understand the pasuk we started off with. Yarov kamato lichi tizak talim rossi. Api amedrish shemasik biyalkut haazinu hashamayim hisstaklu bashamayim shema shinu midasam b'sishma haaretz hisstaklu baaretz shema shinso midasam. The Yalkut Shimoni over here interprets the psukim haazinu hashamayim b'sishma haaretz in reifi. Moshe Rabbeinu turns to the Jewish people and says, look at the heavens and earth. The heavens and earth do exactly what they're supposed to do. They listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They function in the way that nature created them to function. Why can't you listen to them, so to speak, and follow their example? The inyon shinoi hamido ba'odom hu ha'meshana ritzon baro v'yosem yigeder ha'tara v'ha'mitzvah. Right? From the perspective of an individual, were an individual to change his approach, it would mean violating the Ratzon Hashem. Al kein omer achar kach shim tishanu midasem hinei kifi das ha-nevuah v'ha-torah yevshali potter min ha-riga ola olam ola be'ema. Right? So, having introduced the idea, hazinu, having started first with the idea, hazinu ha-shamayim v'ha-daberu v'sishma ha-ores v'mrefi, which according to the Medrash means, you human beings, you Jews, look at the heavens and earth as an example of entities that follow the Ratzon Hashem without deviation. You too should not deviate from the Ratzon Hashem. Aye, but what will happen if you do deviate from the Ratzon Hashem? If you do deviate from what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants? So then, what will happen to the person depends on who you ask, as per the Yerushalmi and Makos. Nevuah would say, the one who deviates from the Ratzon Hashem, Rahman al-Islam, will die. Torah will say, the one who deviates from the Ratzon Hashem has to bring a karbon. Something has to die, either the sinner or the animal. Aval imras Hashem srufa, but God himself, as opposed to Torah and Nevuah, God himself takes the perspective, liftar adam ubehema min ha-hariga, v'achote yashav Hashem v'rafalo. Kodesh Baruch Hu puts out this idea of tshuva, that one need not die, not him, not the behema, one can come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and achieve tshuva, and achieve kapar.
I understand what is being said, but isn't it strange that since the Torah and the Nevuah comes from God, he would have a different halach,
right,
than what he's sending down to earth via a Navi or from the Torah itself. It's him.
Right.
How can it be different?
Right. So that's, I think, a very, very basic and very fundamental question on that Yerushalmi and Machlis. What do you mean? Torah says this, Nevuah says this, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that. Right? So I think, just on the simplest level, what it's trying to illustrate is as follows. You know, let's give a mashal. A person works in a certain institution. There are rules, you know, that govern the way the institution works, and if a person messes up, so the rules, you know, provide certain repercussions. The only way to avoid the repercussions is to get a reprieve from the CEO, from the boss himself, right? Or, you know, to put it in American terms, you can get a presidential pardon, right? You know, the president himself can pardon you, even if the rule books say that you have to be punished in such and such a fashion. What the Yerushalmi is trying to tell us is that tshuva, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not at odds with the Torah or the Nevuah. I mean, he gave the Torah, he gave the Nevuah. But, in other words, tshuva is the equivalent of a presidential pardon. It shouldn't work based on the rules. Based on the rules, if you mess up, there are repercussions. You can't just say, I'm sorry, and somehow wipe away the past. It's only because of a presidential pardon that we're able to have such an idea as tshuva. So true, we've become so accustomed to the idea of tshuva that we take it for granted. You know, yeah, okay, if I sin, I do tshuva, and it's fine. But the Yerushalmi wants to highlight for us that every time tshuva works, it's a special gift from Hashem. It's something where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, is breaking the rules that he himself made. You know, he's extending a special presidential pardon above and beyond the basic, guidelines. And it's important for us to appreciate that.
The concept of the Shiva did not exist or didn't exist in the time of Nevi.
No, it certainly exists in the time of Nevi. I mean, Chazal say, you know, the very first Baal Shuva is Adam HaRishon himself. Right. But, I think the point that Yerushalmi is making is that we shouldn't, tshuva is not just a natural part of the system, right? It's a special gift. You know, okay, maybe God utilizes this presidential pardon a lot, but every time we have to view it as a special gift that he gives us, not just, well, you know, you sin, you do tshuva, it's fine. You know, it's a HaKadosh Baruch Hu going above and beyond what the law itself should really require. Right. Yeah. Right. The best choice would be to have the Karbanos and the Tshuva. Right. That would really be the ideal. Right. So what he means is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, although the Behema, you know, is ideal to be brought as a Karban, Tshuva can work even when the, you know, Behema is not going to be brought. I think we're, you know, it's a little bit of a bumpy explanation, so to speak, is that, you know, he's presenting HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sparing the Behema. Not so much that he's sparing the Behema, he's saying to the human being, even when you can't bring the Behema, I have another avenue open to you, which is Tshuva, right? It's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is an animal rights activist, you know, he's sparing the Behema, right? No, it's, you know, he's saying, if you can't bring the Behema, so, you know, it's not the end of the world, but clearly bringing the carbon would be the ideal. I hear that. I mean, I think, again, it's a little bit al derech hadrush over here. Right. So again, you're right. The comparison is not an entirely fair one, but the idea which is meant to be conveyed to the human being is: look, you know, you have a purpose in the world. You have to see yourself. Although you have the Tzachira Chavshus, you should aspire to become like those entities, you know, like the heavens and earth that do the Rasan Hashem, you know, without question, without fail. You know, you're right. I have the Chira, they don't. I mean, I get that, but I should aspire, you know, to be in that situation. Right, okay, so you get into Midrashim also where the Shemayim and Aretz have a degree of Bechira, but even if you want to say, you know, the way things appear to us, that they don't have Bechira, nonetheless, it's something for us to aspire to. So having said that, so he says, that's now the Pshat, in Yarov Kamot or Likhi. And he says as follows, a very, very beautiful creative Pshat. Amru Razal, Ein Arifa Ela Hariga, Shenem Arva Arfu Shameso Egla. Pashat Pshat, Yarov Kamot or Likhi means, let my lesson come down like the rain. Yarov is a lashon of descent, the falling rain. But we know that Yarov can also mean to decapitate. Right? In the example of the Egla Arufa, right? Where it's decapitated. So that's one thing. Likhi, Kinoi la Torah v'la Nevuah, ki atorah nikres lekach tov v'chei Nevuah l'kucho mi'ito yisparach. Lekach, or likhi, is a reference to Torah and Nevuah. Lekach means the teaching, right? The Torah itself is referred to lekach tov, and lekach also means that which is taken from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like the Nevuah, that it comes from Hashem Himself. Mimelo, Amar Moshe, Shelikhi, Hainu Mashalo Kachti, Ani Me'es Hashem, HaTorah v'HaNevuah, Shneem Ya'arfu. Ki mitoch Shneem Teitze Arigo Le'echad Mehem, Ola Adam, Ola Behemo. Rehemo kamotar azeh she'en hakol smeichim bo. Kach le'olam ein kan simcha ola odom ola behemo. So again, a beautiful homiletic interpretation. He says as follows. Yarov kamotar likhi. If you look from the perspective of lekach, i.e. Torah or Nevuah, so then the answer given the person who wants the kafara is yarov, is going to inevitably involve nisa. Going to inevitably involve death, either for the sinner or for the animal, which is going to be brought as a karbon, right? There's no two ways around it. Someone is going to perish in the process of achieving kapara. And in that way, it's kind of like matar, it's kind of like the rain. Says the Kliyaka, not everybody's happy when it rains. The farmer may be happy when it rains, but the guy who was looking to travel, you know, several miles that day is not happy when it rains. Right? The guys who wanted to go to the ball game are not happy when it rains. Right? Rain is the sort of thing that makes some people happy but some people unhappy. So too, the kapara which is going to be achieved by this person who's the sinner is not going to make everybody happy. Even if he brings the carbon to be mechafka for himself, he'll be happy, but the behemoth sure isn't going to be happy. Right? So yarov kamot or likhi. If you look at it from the perspective of lekach, it brings about arifa. It brings about a certain amount of perishing, just like the matar. Amnam tizal katalim rasi. But if you consider the kapara from a different perspective, from the perspective of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says is necessary for kapara, so imras elokas trufa misamachas adamu vehema. When God gives His answer to the question, how should a person achieve kapara? So God's answer makes everybody happy. It makes the sinner happy. It makes the animal that would have been the carbon happy. So that is ketal azeh shakol smeichim bo. Gemara says, again, regarding dew, everybody likes dew. Nobody has a bad thing to say against dew. Right? In other words, dew saturates the lamp, and the people who are traveling don't have a problem that it messed up their travel plans. Kach adam uvehema toshia Hashem. That's tizal katalim rossi. If you look from the perspective of lekach of Torah and Nevuah, someone's going to get hurt. But tizal katalim rossi. But when it comes to, you know, to the, if you go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, the presidential pardon, so that's like tau. That's something that makes everybody happy. There are no casualties when you're dealing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly in this idea of tshuva. Oh, he takes it one step further. K'moshe kasuv b'haftaras shuva Yisrael. And again, the haftarah, which most years would be reading this week, haftarah Shabbos Shuva, we learned it already last week. So in that haftarah, the pasuk in Hosea says as follows: Erpa mishuvasam. Hashem says, I will heal their waywardness. Oavim nedava. I will love them, you know, without demands for payment. Kishav Ati Mimenu, because my anger has retreated from them. Eya Chatali Yisrael, I'll be like dew for the Jewish people. Yifrach Kashoshana, and the Jewish people are going to sprout up like the rose. Razal Lomdu Mikan Shafil Yachichas the Shuvah Mochlin Lo Lachol HaOlam Shenemar Erpa Meshuvasam Loshen Rabbim Ksiv Kishav Api Mimenu. The Chazal learn out Gemara and Yuma that even if an individual does tshuva, his kapara is not only for himself, but he brings kapara to the entire world. Obviously, in a piecemeal fashion, right? In other words, it doesn't mean if one person does tshuva, nobody else has to do tshuva. But one person doing tshuva brings kapara to the whole world. Meaning, I think just on the simple level, one person does tshuva, it has a ripple effect, right? It brings about a greater readiness for the whole world to do tshuva. There's a degree of kapara which is brought down for everyone. That's what the pasuk says, Erpa Meshuvasam, right? Kishav Api Mimenu. One person, Mimenu, did tshuva, Erpa Meshuvasam. And I will say, I will heal, you know, the waywardness of many. You know, Meshuvasam is the Lashon Rabbah. V'lidvareinu, says the Kli Yakar, based on what we said before, that our pasuk over here, Tisach Hatal and Rossi, is speaking about the benevolence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who, he's ready to forgive, sparing the life of both Adam and Behema. So Erpa Meshuvasam can be referred to HaAdam VaBehema. Erpa Meshuvasam, I will heal their waywardness, refers to both man and beast. Moshe Amar Lemalo Neshalmo Parim Sposeinu. Right, in that very same pasuk, in that very same chapter in Hosea, the famous pasuk, Neshalmo Parim Sposeinu, our lips will take the place of the bulls that were brought as karbanos. That pasuk is there. Ki Aidei Vidoi Sposeinu Neshalmo Chavoseinu Ki Yubazei Yipatu Gamat Parim In Akrov. Right, in our context, Neshalmo Parim Sposeinu means that a person who sins can do tshuva, and by being misvada, by confessing his sins, he can achieve kapara even without the animal being offered up as a sacrifice. Right? Again, this matters that we don't have karbanos, so the vidoy, when the shava parim is supposed to say, our vidoy takes the place of the parim. Kitam hakarbon hu kilafisha ka'ach abehem yishiba adam. Bohu meshutav lishar behemos v'chayis lo eretz. Why do we bring karbanos? Because the karbon represents the animalistic part of all of us, which is being offered up on the mizbeach. Ubechem las Hashem al kol bruah, bein adam bein behema horeder chatshuva lebas hashoveva. Kadosh Baruch Hu taught the idea of tshuva as, you know, as part of God's mercy on all of His creations, on man and on beast. Waywardness is a term you would think would only apply to a person, not to a behema. Nonetheless, to the extent to which the behema absorbs the sins of the person. So Erpa Meshuvasam, God says, through granting tshuva, I've saved both the animal and the person by virtue of their waywardness. In other words, I've saved both of them from death. Erpa Meshuvasam. Ve'amar o'aveim nedava. And this idea of tshuva, he says, is love that God extends to the person, nedava, for free, meaning, it's not that God has to love us. God chooses to love us. Tshuva is a special gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to us, which He doesn't really have to. Again, to go back to the mashal of the presidential pardon, the president doesn't have to pardon anybody, right? The president doesn't have to, you know, extend a special privilege to people. It's something that the president chooses to do. So too, again, just getting back to the basic idea in that Yerushalmi and Makos, it's not that God owes us the ability to do tshuva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in His mercy, grants us the ability to do tshuva. It's an adava, it's a special gift that He's giving to us. Kach kamata oev ani komaisa yodai bin adava, kishav api mimenu. Since I have Rachmanis on the person, Al Ha'adam, Al Kei Niftu Shneim Ha'adam V'Abehemah. So in other words, these psukim in Hosea, Erpa Meshuvasam, O'aveim Nedava, I gave them this gift of tshuva, and I spared thereby both man and beast. Kishav api mimenu, because now I've removed my anger from him. And that's the continuation of the pasuk. Eyechatal li Yisrael, says the Ribbono Shel Olam, I'll be like dew to the Jewish people. Katala zeh shakol smeichim bo. What's the imagery of dew? The imagery of dew, says he, is something which everybody enjoys. Matar, rain, we said, not everybody enjoys. The wayfarer, the traveler, doesn't enjoy the rain. Tau, dew, everybody enjoys. Right? So the tshuva is something which everyone benefits from. Adam and Behema. And Yifrat Kashoshana, the Baal tshuva, will spring forth like the rose. Kikol Baal tshuva doma kilu nolad ba'oso ayom. Says very beautifully, a person who's a Baal tshuva is like he's reborn, like he comes back to life that day. Kemoshe kosova saleach l'chalav onaychi yisamech leitzchadish kanesh and uraychi. So Yifrach Kashoshana, the image that we're supposed to have, is something being recreated, created anew. The person who experiences tshuva is a new barrier. He's a new creation. He's coming into the world for the first time. So these psukim in the Haftarah Shabbos Tshuva, says the Kliyakar, are really a beautiful description of how tshuva can potentially make everyone happy, and how the alternatives to tshuva, what it says in the books, so to speak, work. But they don't work in quite the same uplifting and inspiring way that that tshuva works. Again, as I pointed out, I imagine the Kli Yakar place probably said this originally on a Shabbos tshuva when they laid Parshas Ha'azino, tying together the psukim in the kriya with the psukim from the haftarah. But even on a Shabbos like this, where it's a different haftarah that we're laying, nonetheless, the idea of tshuva, the idea to recognize that tshuva is a special gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is something which is eternally relevant. We'll pick up a little bit after Mayav with another piece and continue then. Rabbi Chaim ben Akasha Omer, Rasa HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lezakos Es Yisrael, Tafikach Hir Bolehem Taro Mitzvah Shenemar Adonai Chofes Man Sidko Yagdut Taro V'yadya. Part 2 of the Shirin Kli Yakar and Parshas HaAzino. Pasuk says, Terek Lamed Beis, Pasuk K, Shiches Lo, Lo Bonov Mumam. Which one way to translate is the deficiency his, meaning Hashem's, Lo, no, Bonov Mumam, whatever defect exists, is that of his children. In other words, if there's a problem, the problem is in us, not Chalila, any kind of problem in the Ribbono Shel Olam. So the Kli Yakar takes this Pasuk and develops an interesting idea based on it. B'Yalkut Parshas Hazinu Masik, the same Yalkut which he quoted in the previous piece, says as follows: Yistaklu b'Hashemayim v'Aret b'Hashemayim sheberasi l'shamashchem shem ashinu midasam. Again, look at the heavens, look at the earth. Moshe Rabbeinu says to the Jewish people, they haven't changed the way they functioned in any way. They do the Ratzon Hashem. You too should do the Ratzon Hashem. And the Yalkut goes on to say as follows: just as the heavens and earth don't get reward or punishment, and the heavens and earth don't have any special kind of rachmanus on their sons and daughters, just as lo shinu midasam, despite that they haven't changed their way of function and they do whatever God tells them to do. Atem sheyesh lochem schar vehefsed, you Jewish people who do have a concept of reward and punishment. Atem chasim al b'neichem v'al b'noseichem, and you do have mercy on your sons and daughters. Alachas kamo v'kamo shlo tishanu es midaschem. How much more so should you not change the way you function? In other words, if God tells you to do something, you should follow through with God's command. So the Kli Yakar is bothered in particular by the reference to having rachmanis on one's sons and daughters. The heavens and earth do God's will, even though there's no concept of their having, rachmanis on their children. You, who should have rachmanis on your children, should certainly do the Ratzon Hashem. What exactly is brought out by that? Mi gid l'baal medrash zeh sheizkir banim obanos v'kal v'chomer zeh. How did the medrash bring it? Where do you get the sons and daughters? Right? Where did that come into things? Where does that concept come into the pasuk? Hulamala Pashas Nisab in Pirashti Shalom Abzem Mashanem Hasham Haidosi Vachem Ayamas Hashemai Vesa Oretz Uksib Basrei Lamantichia Ato Vizarecha Veloma Hiskir Beyud Zezar Yosef Mishar Kola Yehudim Elakach Omer Lo Im Eina Taosu Laman Chayecha Aseina Laman Chaye Zarecha Shai Ato Chos Beteva Albeinu Bas. Says the Kli Yakar, the idea that one should do the Rasan Hashem, even if you're not inclined to do so, but do it to have Rachmanis on your children, says the Kli Yakar, that idea the Baal HaMedrash took initially out of a pasuk at the end of Nitzavim. The end of Nitzavim, it says, Haidosi Vachem Hayomis Hashemayim Vesa'aretz, I've called to witness against you the heavens and the earth, you should follow. I put, you know, a choice before you, and you should choose. You should choose life in order that you and your children should live. Where does your children come into the pasuk? So that's the Kli Yakar says. What the pasuk is trying to bring out is the following idea: the Ribbono Shel Olam says to the Jewish people, "Look, you should do what's right because it's good for you." But at the very least, even if you're not concerned about yourselves, have rachmanis on your children. Because if you make poor choices and you bring down the wrath of HaKadosh Baruch Hu upon yourself, not only are you going to suffer, but ultimately your children, rachmana litzlan, are going to suffer as well. That's in the pasuk of Nitzavim. Leman tichya ato v'zarecha. V'charta v'chayim leman tichya ato v'zarecha. The choice to do what is right and what is good not only impacts upon yourself, but impacts ultimately upon your children. So he says, that's reflected in Parshas Hazinu as well. B'chein v'parshas zo, Achai she'omer Hazinu ha'shamayim, Omer shiches lo bonov mumam. Again, our starting pasuk, which he's going to interpret in a very different way. Mitchila Omer shiches lo, Shachote v'rav meri mashches lo la'atzma. When a person sins, the destruction, the shiches, is lo. He hurts himself. When a person sins, he causes damage to himself. It may be damage to his neshama. It may be damage to himself physically. Again, he may bear physical repercussions for the sins that he does in this world. But when a person sins, he certainly damages himself. V'lo zo lo, not only does he damage himself, elo afilu al chaye bono v'nochos, but he shows that he has a lack of concern, a lack of rachmanis on his own children, because he's going to, again, do things that are going to impact upon them. Ki'ilu lo banav heima. He turns his children into his non-children. Lo banav. Shiches lo, he hurts himself, and lo banav. And ultimately, that is mumam. That is the worst defect that a Jew can have, to not only not have rachmanis on his own spiritual life, but to not even think about how his spiritual failings are going to impact upon his children. That's the ultimate mum. That's really, says the Ribbono Shel Olam, a terrible, terrible failing of the Jewish people. While it's true that sometimes the person will be in a certain situation and he'll say, you know, I have to give in to my Yetzer Hara, I just can't withstand the temptation. God is going to punish me at some point. Okay, when it happens, it happens. I'll deal with it when it happens, right? Okay, it's not a correct perspective, but it's understandable on some level. But why should you bring down the punishment upon your children? At least you sinned, you're going to get punished. But at least, you know, you had the momentary pleasure of whatever the sin was. Think about what you're doing to your children. It's terrible. They don't get the momentary pleasure of the sin, and they're going to get the punishment. It's a lose-lose proposition. Yeah.
Are they getting punishment directly from God, or because of the lack of the failure of something in their father, they don't get the hashpah that they need from their father? Is God
going to
punish them for their
fathers
and say that?
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Right. So he's a little vague about what the punishment is that he has in mind. And I think there are different ways you can interpret it. First of all, Chazal do say that young children can potentially suffer for their parents' sins. That is a concept that we have in Chazal. That it could be that's what he means over here. It could be in a broader sense what he means is that even if there isn't the punishment necessarily that will come about for the children because of the sins of the parents, but there's certainly repercussions, meaning that the parents decide that they're not going to raise children in a Torah observant home, right? They leave the path of Torah and mitzvahs. So now their children are going to be raised without the benefit of Torah and mitzvahs. And you know, even if the children are not going to be held accountable for that from this perspective of a divine punishment, but it certainly means that they're going to be deprived spiritually as a result. Or, you know, the Jewish people sin and they bring galus upon themselves. All right, so the next generation, the generation after that, grew up in galus, right, as a result. So, you know, again, he's a little bit vague as to what exactly he's referring to, but sins do impact on the next generation, whether in a direct fashion or in an indirect fashion. And, you know, you would think that an incentive to get people to do the right thing, don't just think about yourselves, think about your children. Think about how this is going to impact on your children. Yeah.
Child that would have been the one
thing
wasn't born at all.
Right. Or for any sin. In other words, the person dies prematurely, right? It's one understanding what karis is, right? So there's a possibility that the unborn children, you know, are being deprived as a result. It's beyond my pay grade. Let me answer in terms of that. Right? And this same idea that you have to have rachmanis on your children is reflected later on in the Shiras Hazinu as well. It says, "Vayar Hashem vayinatz mikas banav uvenosav." God saw and he got angry from the anger of his sons and daughters. Right? Now, Pashut Pshat, what that means is that God saw the suffering of the Jewish people, his sons and daughters, and God was angered against the anti-Semitic enemy of the Jewish people. That's the simple, pshat in the pasuk. But the Kli Yakar, again, using his derech, says as follows: Ki b'shlama, b'shlama mashlocha yachas alas ma'ina achas gedola kol kach, fishi yishman yishurin vayivat shermanto avisa, v'atzalom ano ashati lachat seyu. According to this interpretation, Vayar Hashem Vayinatz means God sees the Jewish sinner and he becomes especially upset with the Jewish sinner, Mikas Bonov Uvenosov. God, so to speak, is angry on behalf of the children of that sinner who are going to bear the repercussions of their parents' sins unfairly. So the Ribbono Shel Olam, is angry at the sinner. How could you not think about your own children? You know, shouldn't that at least have been some kind of incentive to do that which is right? On some level, this can help us understand, one of the areas in halacha, which is perhaps one of the most difficult to understand, the whole concept of mamzerus. Again, what did the mamzer do? He's a perfectly fine fellow, why are you going to hold him accountable for for the misdeeds of his parents? And on some level, the answer is, the fact that the mamzer is going to be penalized so severely, we hope, would be at least a way to stop the parents from doing this terrible sin of Gilui Arayos. Because most normal parents, even if they don't care about their own spiritual well-being, but they'll do whatever they can to protect their children. Right. So again, perhaps because it's so difficult to control that Yetzirah, the Torah has to set up such a drastic result that, even this person who's possessed says, look, I'm willing to lose my Olam Haba, but to mess up my kid, how could I do such a thing? So in other words, that concept of Mamzerus is dangling there because that's the ultimate, thing that we can hold up in the front of the face of the sinner, the potential, the would-be sinner, and to say, look, I know you don't care about yourself, but at least have Rachmanis on your children, right? And that's a theme that essentially, according to the Kli Yakar, is reflecting itself, you know, these two times in the Shira Sazinu. Shiches lo, you want to hurt yourself, melo. But lo banov, but you want to make your children ki'ilo, they're not your children? Mumom, that's a terrible, terrible defect. That's a terrible, terrible mum. That's, in a sense, unforgivable on the part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I understand that you don't care about yourself, but how can you not care about your children? The truth is, I think we know from experience, so many, you know, the flip side of this is so many people come back to Yiddishkeit because of their children. I don't care at all about Shmiras Torah Mitzvahs. But how could I raise my kids that they'll never see Kiddush Friday night? So you have families where they're not particularly Shomer Shabbos, but we have a Friday night meal with Kiddush because the children have to see it. I mean, the flip side of that, unfortunately, is sometimes the kids grow up, they move out of the house, and that's the last time they ever make Kiddush. That's the last time they ever light Shabbos candles, right? We're doing it for the children. Okay, that part of it is not good, but the notion that the children can be a major incentive to come to Yiddishkeit is really an illustration of this idea of the Kli Yakar. People are willing, even people who are willing to give up on their spiritual lives will do things for the sake of their children which they wouldn't do for the sake of themselves, right? I think they show statistically that among non-observant people, the highest percentage of people who join shuls are people who have young children at home. Right? People who are single don't, again, in the non-Orthodox world, people who are single don't join shuls. Young couples without children don't join shuls. Older people with children who have moved out of the house, they don't join shuls, you know? But people with young children, so, you know, they feel that they want to be part of something, that there's something, that they realize that even if they themselves are willing to forgo a connection to Torah Mitzvahs, they want to have something at least for the children. A person who doesn't even care about the Yiddishkeit of his children, that's a person who's very far gone. And that's what he's saying, mumum, that's an incredible mum for a person to not even care about their children when it comes to Shmiras Torah Mitzvahs. Yes.
Is there a thought that the person who is doing this also has a reflection of his grandparents and great grandparents, and that the defect is being carried down through the generations?
Yeah, perhaps. In other words, one could say that if a person chooses to a path which is a bad path, it will impact upon the children as well, that they'll pick up that trait from their parents, and it'll be hard for the children to shake it. Right, it'll be hard for the children to shake that particular, right, so that could be part of the punishment, as punishment, quote-unquote, as it goes passed down to the children.
So to clean up this, discuss this and say,
Okay, it's not a simple thing. Everyone comes into the world in a certain context. You know, you come into the world in a context of people who have run away from Torah Mitzvahs. You know, you're going to grow up with that. That's going to be a part of who you are, unfortunately. Right? Another idea. Davar acher shebanav remez lemasav shenikru toldosav shel adam. Forget about your physical children for a moment. We know Chazal speak of a person's deeds as being his spiritual children, in a sense. Hein told Oseyem, Shot Sadikim Aisim Tovim. Chazal said in the context of Sadikim, that when Sadikim do good deeds, they're considered to be their children. Hein Maiseh HaRishayim. But when Rishayim do bad deeds, they're also considered. Those bad deeds are also considered to be the children, so to speak, of the Rishayim. Barasha Eino Moda Al Ha'emes Le'olam. A Rasha, you know, is a person who doesn't really admit to the truth. All of the results of his bad deeds, he disavows and he disowns. I didn't do it. Right? This is a result of your evil, this is a result of your terrible actions, it's not my fault. Right? Shiches lo, right? So that's what he goes on to say. When the Rasha has something terribly, terribly wrong with him, lo banav, he throws up his hands and he says, these are not my children, meaning these actions cannot be traceable back to me, right? You're a Baal Machlokas, and because you're a Baal Machlokas, everyone around you gets involved in Machlokas, It's not my problem. I didn't cause it. Reuven and Shimon had a fight. What are you looking at me? Well, because you know, every time you walk into a room, you create an environment where people are yelling at one another and you know, having fist fights with one another. Okay, but it was them. It wasn't me. Shiches lo, lo banav. So says the pasuk. That's mumam, right? That's a terrible, terrible mum, a terrible defect that the Rasha has. Not only does he do things that are terrible, he absolves himself of responsibility by saying that nothing is traceable back to him. So ikar hamum shebohem shelo yosim asham ben asher b'chol tadas of aroim. He never blames himself for any of these terrible things. I'm not responsible. I didn't bring about. The sibol azeh shehem dar ikesh uf salto. And that's because it's a generation which is ikesh, which is twisted, upsalto, and twisted around itself. It's a dar ikesh, eno moda al ha'emes le'olam. Right? A generation that denies the truth. Right? And because it is so accustomed to doing that which is wrong, it is psalto. It does a sin and it repeats the sin. Psalto, Rashi writes, it's like a wick, like the Russian seal, that's twisted upon itself. Psalto. So the sinner who does a sin and repeats it and just spirals around, kind of like the wick which is twisted upon itself, that's what's represented you know, by this idea of psaltol, somebody who engages in avera over and over and over again and just never seems to learn the right way of handling himself. Okay, halavai is we're now during this period of mitzvos, right? We're doing all these mitzvos between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. Bezus Hashem, what to take away from here is A, to recognize the incredible power of doing something for our children, right? That could be an incredible, incredibly motivating factor to get us to do that which is right, as well as from the second vort, the importance of recognizing, taking responsibility for your actions, realizing that the evil things we do have impacts, have a ripple effect, and recognizing that on the reverse side, the good things we do have a ripple effect as well. Bez Hashem, this is our last shir in Kli Yakar for this year, with the exception of the night of Simchas Torah. Bez Hashem, Leil Simchas Torah, between Mincha and Ma'ariv, we'll have the last Kli Yakar shir. We'll go through relevant Kli Yakars and Parshas V'Zos HaBracha. I don't think we'll be able to tape that one for those who are not going to be able to be there in person. And then Bez Hashem, that night, Leil Simchas Torah, we'll unveil the answer to the mystery question. What's happening next? You know, what's our next limud? For the coming year, just in terms of scheduling, after Simchas Torah, the inaugural class in whatever sefer we will be learning will be Thursday night of that week, the Thursday night right before Parshas Bereishis. So I guess that is 2 weeks from tonight. Be'ezus Hashem. So the Thursday night right before Parshas Bereishis, I don't know what it is on the secular calendar, October something, but Be'ezus Hashem, then we'll pick up and we'll see what the mystery sefer is that we'll be learning next. Okay, I want to wish everyone, I'm sorry? What's that? On the other nights?
Yeah,
on the other nights.
October 8th.
October 8th, okay, so Be'ez Hashem, we'll have Simchas Torah, and then October 8th for Shabbos Bereishis.